Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, I don't know what this world is coming to.
Welcome to another edition of Sports Chat with T-Wash. We're going to basically, on today's show, recap college football over the past weekend. We're going to talk about the NFL opener tomorrow night. Yes, football is back. We all happy. We all love it. And it's going to be a Super Bowl rematch with Denver taking on Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers. We're also going to do a rundown of the MLB. The hot teams right now, who's leading their division, and, you know, once again, who I believe is going to make it to the World Series. And then we're going to end up finishing off with basically the question is going to be asked, who was your top center, NBA center of your generation? Who's the best at that center position of your generation? And I'll give you my opinion on that. So we're about to get ready to get into that. Like I said, we're going to do college football recap, NFL opener tomorrow night. The Denver Broncos take on the Carolina Panthers, Super Bowl rematch. We'll do a quick rundown at MLB, the scores, division standings, who I believe will go to the World Series. And then we'll talk about the best NBA center of your generation. So if you want to call in, talk about any of those topics, or if you want to throw any type of sports topic at me, it doesn't have to be the topics I present. You can throw something my way. Then you can hit me up at 1-516-453-9117. Be back after this break.
Hi, sports fans. Don't you love to see young people engaged in a good book? Then it's a must that you check out my website for my newly released title, A Different Color. You will find a list of other engaging books for youth ages 12 through 18 as well. My books are only $10, and they are guaranteed. So if that special young person in your life is not engaged, you will get your money back. So quit stalling and check me out at www.yireadpublishing.com. That's www.yireadpublishing.com. I'm KC Taylor, and together we make a difference in the lives of our youth.
Yeah, the whole world's gone crazy. People ride in the streets, killing unborn babies, catching shots from police. Never thought that I would see the day when I would have to pray for God to hold me down. Cause Lord, I feel like giving up today. I feel like giving up the faith. I swear these people fake. I swear they full of hate. I swear to tell the truth until I'm in the grave. Shots fired. Everybody quiet. Trying to hear the preacher. He ain't preaching to the choir. Preaching to the riots. Daddy got fired. He ain't got no Medicare. Sipping liquor in his chair. Blank stare. Need a blank check. Where your bank at? Babies had a birthday. They gon' need a rain check. Rich man need
need a vacation, hop a plane. Broke man need a vacation, Mary Jane.
Fuck, I'm tired and everything is bubbly. Butterflies in my stomach from this girl I wanna see. Party in the neighborhood and everybody on the street.
They was on that Stevie Wonder, now it's Frankie Beverly. I done seen
days go crazy, time fly by. Maybe it was yesterday or maybe 65. Peace and war, born and die.
All too familiar, more lifetimes,
One time for the memories. Two times for the crew. Three times for the love, y'all. And four times for the truth. And some days are a nightmare. And some dreams come true. But the Lord's still right there. It's just deja vu, oh. It's just deja vu. Deja vu.
All right. Welcome back to Sports Chat with T-Wash. Deja vu. That's a little bit of Lecrae. If you're into Christian hip-hop, he's one of the best in the game, and you may want to pick him up, pick up any of his albums. He has mixtapes out. He has albums. He's one of the best in the Christian hip-hop scene. So if you want to check out some good Christian music, check out Lecrae. You can also check out a guy named Andy Mineo and a host of others. But let's recap college football weekend. It was a great weekend, a lot of great games, and it was just a good weekend to watch, you know, welcome back college football. And the first game I want to start off with is number 3 Oklahoma versus number 15 Houston. Both of these quarterbacks for each team have Heisman, you know, aspirations. Baker Mayfield, he finished the game with 24-33 for 323 yards and 2 passing touchdowns. Houston's quarterback, Greg Ward Jr., I never heard of him. And, you know, I kind of researched him this summer, and the guy's a beast. He's only like 5'11". He reminds me of Russell Wilson. The guy can throw and he can run. And what a way to start off your Heisman candidacy by upsetting the number 3 team in the nation. Greg Ward Jr. led Houston to a 33-23 win over Oklahoma. Greg Ward Jr. finished the game with 23 of 40 for 321 yards and 2 touchdowns. And a lot of those passes he threw were sweet. Houston played hard as a team. It was a shootout at first. And then, you know, Houston ended up pulling away. But they were clearly the better team. They were more explosive on offense. And they made more plays on defense than Oklahoma. Oklahoma's offense was stalling after a while. After the third quarter, Oklahoma's offense stalled, and that's due to Houston Clint doing such a great job on defense. So that was one of the good games. Another game we had, and this wasn't a good game at all. It was actually a blowout. But I figure I'll bring them up because there's a lot of expectations and high hopes going on with Michigan football right now. But they destroyed Hawaii 63-7, and Michigan is ranked number 7 currently. Hawaii had an anemic offense. I mean, they couldn't do anything. They couldn't run the ball. They couldn't pass the ball. Michigan defense forced tons of turnovers. Freshman quarterback for Michigan, Wilton Spate, was 10-13, had 145 yards passing and 3 touchdowns. He also had 1 interception. Star of the day was Chris Evans, who rushed for 112 yards and 2 touchdowns. So that really wasn't much of a game right there. But like I said, I just brought it up because there's a big expectation for Michigan football right now. A lot of people are picking them to win the Big Ten, to dethrone Ohio State or Michigan State, and be able to represent in that Final Four of college football. So there's a lot of healthy expectations on Michigan, so I thought I would bring them up. And this was another blowout game. You had Ohio State, number 6 Ohio State, beating Bowling Green 77-10. The Bowling Green quarterback had a horrible game. His name is Napke. I never heard of him. I really don't know much about Bowling Green's team, so I'm going to be honest with you. But Napke had 110 yards passing and 2 interceptions. So he didn't have a good day at all. And JT Barrett started off kind of rocky. His first pass of the season was a pick 6. And then he quickly made up for that, going 21-31 for 349 yards passing touchdowns. So that Ohio State offense and JT Barrett literally just went pass happy and threw the ball all over that Bowling Green defense. And they literally couldn't do nothing. Wide receiver Curtis Samuel had 9 receptions for 177 yards and 2 touchdowns. So Ohio State shined in their opener. But, you know, once again, it was really against no competition. But 77-10 is 77-10. And, guys, if you want to talk about any of these football games, college football games from over the weekend, if you want to talk about tomorrow night's NFL opener between the Denver Broncos and Carolina Panthers, you want to talk about Major League Baseball, season starting to heat up because it's getting close to playoff time. Or if you want to give me the best center, NBA center, in your opinion, of your generation, then you can also do that. You just got to hit me up at 1-516-453-9117. Once again, that's 1-516-453-9117. The next game was actually a good one, and I was watching it while I was doing my show on Saturday. So I was able to chime in on the show about this game as it was happening. And that was number 5, LSU, taking on Wisconsin in historic Lambeau Field. So it was basically a home game for the Badgers, but it was played in Lambeau Field. And the Badgers won 16-14. It was one of those defensive games at first. Not much offense was being scored. It was kind of ugly. For the most part, the Wisconsin Badger defense shut down All-American running back Leonard Fournette. They shut him down completely in the first half. The second half is where he got most of his yards. But LSU has the same issue that they always have. They have, and I don't understand, they're always able to recruit top running backs and top receivers. I mean, look at all the receivers that came from that university, all the good receivers. So they're always able to recruit top receivers and top running backs, but they never able to recruit a top-tier quarterback. They always seem to have that quarterback that's really an athlete. He can just run, and that's it. He really can't throw. He's not accurate with his passes. And they have another guy named Brandon Harris. He was there last year, evidently, and he wasn't that great. And the talk was that he improved this offseason. Spring football, he looked good, and, you know, he's going to be able to pass the ball and be that legitimate dual threat that Les Miles wants him to be. But he, in the game against the Badgers, he went 12-21. He only had 131 yards passing, 1 touchdown, and 2 interceptions. So he had a mediocre game, and in my opinion, it looked like LSU has the same issue they've always had, and that's not having a good quarterback. And that's why they can't win any national championships, in my opinion. You got to be able to have solid quarterback play to win a national title. Like I said, Leonard Fournette didn't do much in the first half. That Badger defense smothered him. But in the second half, he ran the ball well. And he ended up finishing the game with 23 carries and 138 yards rushing. As far as Wisconsin, their freshman quarterback, Bart Houston, he went 19-31, had 205 passing yards, no touchdowns, but he had 2 interceptions. As I said, the game was ugly at first. And then Wisconsin started making plays with their defense as the game went on. And like I said, the Badgers shut down their Tiger offense for the most part. Wisconsin running back Corey Clement led the way with 21 carries, 86 yards, and 1 touchdown. And like I said, the Badgers were able to get the upset in historic Lambeau Field, 16-14 over number 5 LSU. This next game was UCLA, number 16, UCLA, taking on Texas A&M. The quarterback for UCLA, in my opinion, he's overrated. They made a big deal out of him. His name is Josh Rosen. They made a big deal out of him last year as a freshman. They were saying he was so great that if he was allowed to come out his freshman year into the draft, he would have been the number one pick this year instead of Jared Goff. The kid is really confident. But he still has to work on his mechanics. He still has to work on some things to make him be that top quarterback that everybody's saying that he is. because he made some critical mistakes. Texas A&M won the game in overtime, 31-24. The end of regulation, Josh Rosen had a chance to drive his team down for the win with 1:07 left, and he threw a bad interception right to the Texas A&M player. So I'm not seeing why he's so great as they're making it out to be. But he finished the game 26-46 for 343 yards, 1 touchdown, and 3 interceptions. Now you tell me, is that a player that looked like he should be the number one pick, you know, coming out of his freshman season? Don't look like it to me. But the wide receiver, Kenneth Walker III, he had a good game. He had 6 receptions for 115 yards and 1 touchdown. Texas A&M quarterback Trevor Knight was 22 of 42, and he threw for 239 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. When it was necessary, the A&M defense made plays. UCLA actually had the chance to score in overtime, but they couldn't get the ball in from goal line, and that was due to that A&M defense making the stop. A&M went down, and they scored their touchdown to win the game. They were led in rushing by Trevion Williams, who had 15 carries for 94 yards. So it was a lot of upsets this weekend. UCLA went down, LSU went down, Oklahoma went down. And then you have Georgia taking on North Carolina, number 18 Georgia taking on number 22 North Carolina. Quarterback Jacob Eason for Georgia was 8 of 12 for 131 yards, 1 touchdown. That's really not anything spectacular. But the story of the day was Nick Chubb, who tore his knee up last season, and nobody even knew if he was going to be able to come back and play at a high level the way he was, you know, last year. Nick Chubb was a Heisman candidate and tore his knee up and, you know, his season ended. But his first game back against North Carolina, Nick Chubb carried the ball 32 times, rushed for 222 yards, and had 2 touchdowns. So that's a great comeback for a guy who many feared that his career would be over because of the way he tore his knee up last season. So that's really good news to see Nick Chubb possibly get back to that, you know, top-tier running back, Heisman Trophy-type performer that he was before the injury. North Carolina quarterback Mitch Trubisky went 24 of 40, 156 yards passing. He didn't have any touchdowns passing, but he carried the ball 3 times for 7 yards, and he rushed for 1 touchdown. The North Carolina running back, T.J. Logan, had 6 carries for 80 yards and 1 touchdown. So it seemed like it was an interesting game, but, you know, they just couldn't – that North Carolina defense just couldn't do anything with Nick Chubb. I mean, he ran wild on them. He had some carries that were 30-plus yard carries. You know, he had some nice, tough, hard physical runs. And it basically looked like Nick Chubb is going to be back on track. You know, he picked him right up where he left off before the injury. So then we get to this game. I mean, wow. I mean, what do you say about Alabama? The Crimson Tide or the Crimson Tide? And now they look even more scarier. But number one, Alabama just destroyed number 20, USC. USC is not the same team it used to be. You know, we're used to USC being one of those dominant top 10 type of teams every year. But the way Alabama destroyed them and shut them down, it might be a long season for USC. And the USC quarterback, Max Brown, was 14-29 for 101 passing yards and 1 interception. So their passing game got shut down. Their running game got shut down by that Alabama defense, which is always tough. They even shut down All-American wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster. He had 1 reception for 9 yards. And this guy is coming into this season as one of the top receivers in college football. And he was held to 1 reception for 9 yards. That's that Crimson Tide defense, man. But this is what's scary about Alabama. They had a freshman quarterback named Jalen Hurts who just ran roughshod on that Trojan defense. I mean, this guy went 6 of 11 passing for 118 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. But he rushed for 32 yards and rushed for 2 touchdowns. So this guy, he went on a tear, and he's only a freshman. So it's like, man, what do you do? Nick Saban just seems to hit the jackpot. He normally doesn't have a great quarterback. But this kid, to look the way he looked in game one as a freshman, he's going to do nothing but get better. So, I mean, this might be a sign of things to come. The Tide might have something nice going on for the next 3 years with this guy. Running back Damian Harris had 9 carries for 138 yards, while wide receiver Ardarius Stewart had 4 receptions for 113 yards and 2 touchdowns. But like I said, Alabama just throttled the USC Trojans. It was nothing they can do. They lost in every facet of the game. The Crimson Tide defense shut them down. The Trojan defense couldn't do nothing with the Crimson Tide offense. The freshman quarterback, Jalen Hurts, ran roughshod on them, passing it, running it. Their secondary let a receiver get 113 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns only off 4 receptions. So that's a shoddy job by the USC secondary. So like I said, this game was just basically a joke. And the Crimson Tide, you know, basically showing everybody why they're going to be right back in the Final Four of College Football Championship. And that the other 3 teams that make it there with them better watch out. And you have number 2 Clemson taking on Auburn. Clemson would win the game 19-13. Quarterback Deshaun Watson, who's my Heisman candidate to win it, because he's a bad boy. He could do it all. He can run. He can pass. He's smart. He can make the proper throw. And he's just a good leader. But Deshaun Watson he was 19-34 for 248 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Running back Wayne Gallman carried the ball 30 times for 123 yards and 1 touchdown. And wide receiver Mike Williams had 9 receptions for 174 yards receiving. So you had the three main guys producing. And, you know, usually when that happens, Clemson win the game. But they kind of struggled a little bit, too, and that's the reason why Auburn was able to stay kind of close. And Auburn quarterback Sean White went 10-21 for 140 yards and 1 interception, while running back Kerryon Johnson had 23 carries for 94 yards and 1 touchdown. So, I mean, Auburn was able to play tough and play feisty and keep it close, but when it's all said and done, when Clemson need to make, you know, a play on offense, a play on defense, they were able to do that and pull the game out. You know, a lot of people were expecting Clemson to be able to blow Auburn out, but playing down in Auburn is not, you know, an easy place to play, no matter what type of condition, you know, the team is in. Clemson was able to pull it out. But Auburn put up a fight. Now, this next game, in my opinion, is an early candidate for game of the year. And that was the Notre Dame Fighting Irish taking on the Texas Longhorns. I mean, what a game. 2 overtimes. This game went to 2 overtimes with Texas winning 50-47. I mean, this was a shootout. It was a shootout. It seemed like the team that had the most will to win was the team that was going to win. And that's what happened. Texas, it just seemed like they had a will to win. They did not want to lose that game. But Notre Dame, let's start with their stats. Their quarterback, another Heisman candidate in my opinion, because the way he played when he came in from Malik Zaire last year and took over, he did a hell of a job, and that's Deshaun Kizer. He went 14-24 for 215 yards and passed for 5 touchdowns. This guy also rushed for 77 yards and had a rushing touchdown. So this guy put in work. He didn't want to lose that game. and he put in work. Running back Torian Folston had 18 carries for 88 yards. But the star for the Irish was definitely Deshaun Kizer, accounting for 6 touchdowns. I mean, like I said, he didn't pass for many yards, but he threw for a lot of touchdowns, 215 yards and 5 touchdowns. Now for Texas, their freshman quarterback had a freshman starting quarterback. You know, everybody's making a big deal. It's Tyrone Swoops, you know, going to be able to accept Charlie Strong, you know, promoting his freshman as the starting quarterback. Evidently, he didn't, because he still made plays and he still basically won the game for the Longhorns. But let's start with freshman quarterback Shane Bouchel. Yeah, he was 16-26 for 280 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. And as I said, senior quarterback Tyrone Swoop, he did his damage on the ground. He came in on quarterback keeper plays. He had 53 rush yards and 3 touchdowns. The most critical touchdown happening in the second overtime to win the game. And before that touchdown, he had like a 15-yard run where you could see the heart and determination he had to win. I mean, he was literally running over Notre Dame players. If I'm not mistaken, I think he hurt a Notre Dame player because he was down on the ground for a while, and they had to come out there and check on him. And that was from a hit from the big quarterback, Tyrone Swoops. Texas running back Deontay Foreman, he had a good game. He rushing the ball for 131 yards off 24 carries and 1 touchdown. Wide receiver John Burt, 6 receptions for 111 yards and 1 touchdown. So this was the type of game where, I mean, you know, it's really a loser. It's a loser. It says it on the stat sheet that it's a loser, but in my opinion, none of these teams lost this game. I mean, they played their hearts out. I believe Notre Dame played like they knew they couldn't lose this game, whereas Texas, they played like they wanted to prove to the rest of the country that they're a legit team. And at least for, you know, for the week, for this week, they are a legit team. They showed that they can play good Texas football, and they did. And like I said, this has to be an early candidate for game of the year, and this is week one. But this was a great game. And if they have it on YouTube, I would say go on YouTube and look at it. Because it is definitely worth it. I mean, I know this probably stings for Notre Dame fans, but yeah, it was a good game, man. And basically the last game of the college football weekend, which happened Monday night, was Ole Miss taking on Florida State. Now, this game was messed up because Ole Miss led 28-6 at the half. They were killing Florida State. It was nothing Florida State could do. It seemed like nothing, anything that Florida State did just didn't go right. And Ole Miss took advantage of that. I mean, you had that quarterback who came into the season talking so much smack and talking with big bravado, Chad Kelly, the transfer, talking about how, you know, they're going to be good and they're going to beat Alabama and they're going to beat this team and that team. And I could say the first half, he was looking like he was, you know, a man of his words. He was balling out, you know, leading Ole Miss to a 28-6 lead in the first half. Second half, it was all Florida State. I mean, they literally scored 39 straight points. Florida State went on a 39 points in the second half. Now, is that is that Florida State offense? Or is that Ole Miss defense just blowing it? But Ole Miss quarterback Chad Kelly was 21-39. 313 yards, 4 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Wide receiver Evan Engram, he had 9 receptions for 121 yards and 1 touchdown. As far as Florida State, new quarterback DeAndre Francois, he had a great game. 33 of 52, 419 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, and he also rushed for 59 yards. So he had a great game, and this is a new quarterback because Everett Golson is gone now. So This is the new guy to him, Florida State, DeAndre Francois. So it seemed like that might be a name for everybody to watch out for. And watch out for Florida State because they have a good team. And All-American Heisman candidate running back, Dalvin Cook. He had 23 carries for 91 yards. But here's the kicker, and this is why I believe he's the best college running back right now. Him or Christian McCaffrey. But Dalvin Cook, like I said, I would take Dalvin Cook over Leonard Fournette because Leonard Fournette is strictly a runner. I mean, you know, he's kind of like the Adrian Peterson clone. Whereas Dalvin Cook, he can do both. In this game against Ole Miss, Dalvin Cook has 7 receptions for 101 receiving yards. And that's coming from your starting running back. So go along with 23 carries and 91 rushing yards. So this guy's a monster. And if I was an NFL team, I would seriously consider taking Dalvin Cook over Leonard Fournette. Wide receiver, Jesus Wilson also had 9 receptions for 125 yards. So this is basically a recap of what happened in college football over the weekend. And I'm looking forward to many more weekends of good college football. But honestly, I'm going to be paying more attention to the NFL. And it's crazy because I'm more of a college basketball guy than I am an NBA guy. And in football, I'm more of an NFL guy than I am a college football guy. So I'll be checking on these, you know, checking on the games and, you know, trying to look at the good matchups and watch them. But truthfully, I'm going to be more into the NFL games than I am the college football games. So, okay, we just did the college football recap. Next thing we're going to talk about, after I take this break, we're going to talk about the NFL opener tomorrow between the Denver Broncos and the Carolina Panthers. And if you want to chime in about college football, the games over the weekend, you want to chime in about tomorrow night's game in the NFL, Major League Baseball, then hit me up, 1-516-453-9117.
If you have a strong passion for sports and a love of talking about sports, then hit up Sports Chat with T. Wash at 1-516-453-9117. Here we'll discuss the NBA, we'll discuss MLB, we'll discuss NCAA, we'll discuss NFL, we'll discuss MMA, and yes, we'll discuss even a little hockey. So if you love to talk about sports and you want to have some good conversation, once again, hit up Sports Chat with T. Wash. And that number is 1-516-453-9117. Looking forward to hearing from you.
That music means. That means we're going to talk about some football. Football is back tomorrow night, season opener. Denver Broncos take on the Carolina Panthers in the Super Bowl rematch. And we all know how that Super Bowl ended last year. It ended with Cam Newton not diving for a loose ball when his team still had a chance to win the game. It's almost like he just gave up. And it kind of disappointed me with Cam. I kind of look at him a different way now. It makes me think that he won't go all out for his team. he won't go all out to win the big game. It's almost like he was so shook because Von Miller and that Denver defense just stayed on him all game. They had him rattled. He played a bad game. And so it was like he was shook to the point where he just gave up. The ball was on the ground. He's just like, forget it. I'm not even going for it. When it was right there. And I don't understand that because Cam Newton, 6'5", about 250, 260 pounds, a muscular guy. He's not a little, tiny, you know, shrimpy quarterback. This is a big dude. And he could have went for that ball because the team still had a chance. And it's like he was so rattled by that Bronco defense getting at him the whole night, he just decided to give up on it. Will this be a game of redemption for the Panthers? We have to find out tomorrow night, and that's why I can't wait. Check it out. It's going to be interesting. But the Broncos, they're coming into the game starting a new quarterback, Trevor Siemian, his first NFL start out of Northwestern. The great Peyton Manning isn't there no more. Mark Sanchez is brought in as a veteran, you know, to try to lead the Bronco team, you know, and be a steady player who don't make turnovers and mistakes. But he had a horrible preseason, so he lost the job to a guy who hasn't had an NFL start. So Broncos going with Trevor Siemian, the second-year quarterback out of Northwestern, and it's going to be curious to see if he can be up to the task. Can he be that quarterback that just steers the ship, you know, not force things, not have any turnovers, but just manage the game? Because if he could do that, the Broncos might have a chance to get back to the playoffs, and who knows what happened, because that defense is still good. And they lost Danny Trevathan, and they lost Malik Jackson. But they still have the core of that defense in place. DeMarcus Ware is still there. Shane Ray is still there. Aqib Talib and Chris Harris and T.J. Ward are still there in that secondary. And then, you know, you can't forget about Von Miller, the Super Bowl MVP, who basically wreaks havoc on opposing quarterbacks the way he did on Cam Newton in the Super Bowl. Play after play, Von Miller is there to make it. And I don't see that changing. And as far as Cam Newton, like I said, he's downplaying everything. He's saying it's not a revenge game and all that. But you know in the back of his mind, he want to make up for his performance in the Super Bowl. So I believe that this is going to be a game of amends, to make amends for Cam Newton, because he didn't perform well at all in the Super Bowl. And the one good news is he's going to be going into tomorrow's night's game with his primary target back in the fold. Kelvin Benjamin didn't even play last year. And Kelvin Benjamin had an outstanding rookie season. But he got hurt in training camp last season and missed the whole 2015 season. And the Panthers still made it to the Super Bowl without their top receiver. So, you know, the expectations have to be real high with Kelvin Benjamin being back in the mix. And Cam will have his top target from last season back. He's going to have Greg Olsen. You'll have Devin Funchess, who was a rookie last year and seeming to improve his second year. He had a good preseason. And then deep threat Ted Ginn Jr., who had double-digit touchdowns last season, he's back. So that receiving core should be pretty good. But they're going to be going against a good secondary. So, you know, they might cancel each other out. So it's probably going to be on Cam. It's probably going to be on the running game. Jonathan Stewart. Is he going to be able to run on that front four of Denver? I don't know. That's the million-dollar question. So it might be on Cam. Cam might have to make plays with his feet also to have a chance to win, because that secondary, those are some good matchups with that secondary, you know, against that receiving core of Carolina. But I'm expecting Cam to throw the ball to Kelvin Benjamin to get him going. He might make a play here and there, but I don't know. I don't know. That Broncos secondary is nothing to play around with. You know, like I said, it's going to be good to have football back. And, you know, I want to predict that Denver is going to win the game just because of the simple fact they're at home. But I don't know. It's hard to pick when you haven't seen Trevor Siemian have, you know, there's no game tape on him. So I don't know how he's going to look. I don't know how he's going to play. I don't know if that Carolina defense, which is a good defense also, I don't know how Denver offensive line is going to be able to protect them. I don't know if they're going to be, you know, if they're going to allow, you know, that front four of Carolina to get to Trevor Siemian. What happens when Trevor Siemian gets rattled? Will he start turning the ball over? Will he start playing like a second-year guy? That's, you know, things that we're going to have to find out tomorrow. Because like I said, you got Carolina, they have Luke Kuechly. The thing with Carolina, though, they might be at a disadvantage because they have two starting rookie cornerbacks. They're going to have two rookie cornerbacks starting tomorrow, going against seasoned vets like Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders. I just don't know how those guys are going to be able to cover them one-on-one. And it's going to be on Trevor Siemian to get them the ball. And I don't know how accurate he is, and I don't know if he's going to be able to stand in the pocket. You know, is he going to feel invisible pressure from players like Coney Ealy and, you know, Kawan Short? Is he going to feel the pressure from those guys? You know, enough to make things happen. It's going to be interesting. So I really don't want to pick this game. It's like 60-40 of me want to say Denver's going to win just because of that defense. Carolina's going into a hostile environment. They're going to be rowdy. They're 9 out of 10. They're going to lift that championship banner. That crowd's going to be rowdy in the Mile High City. And Carolina has to go and play in all that. The altitude. Right now, it's 60-40, in my opinion, that Denver's going to win tomorrow night's game. I'm just going to say Denver's going to win the game. I mean, why go against my guns? It, to me, is too many pros for Denver tomorrow for me to say that Carolina is going to win. That Denver secondary versus the Carolina receiving core, I get an advantage to Denver secondary. The Carolina secondary versus the Denver Bronco receiving core, I get that advantage to the Denver Bronco receiving core. Then you got C.J. Anderson. He can run the ball. Then they got this rookie that's been running the ball pretty good for Denver. I don't know his name right now, and I'm sorry for that. But Trevor Siemian might not have to do much. And you know how Demaryius Thomas is with those screen passes. He can take a screen pass the distance. I'm pretty sure they're going to throw a couple of those at those cornerbacks tomorrow at that secondary. So I'm going to say Denver's going to win tomorrow's game. And I'm going to say the score will be, I'm going to say 27 to 17. I'm going to give Denver a 10-point win tomorrow. 27-17 to open up the season for the reigning Super Bowl champs, who's going to be raising the banner tomorrow night, and that Mile High crowd is going to be in a frenzy. So that's what I'll do. I'm going to say Carolina is going to go down, and they'll lose the game 27-17 to Denver. What do you guys think about that? You think Denver's going to win the game tomorrow? You think Carolina's going to win the game? You want to talk about college football, recap the weekend, some of these good games, early game of the year candidate, Notre Dame versus Texas. You want to talk about that? You want to talk about baseball? You can hit me up, 1-516-453-9117. I want to take a break, and then when I come back, we're going to get off into the MLB and what's going on right now in Major League Baseball.
Dame Dollar. Yeah. The wait is over. Look. My first encounter with adversity was
somewhat an emergency. I fell off the path and my mental, it needed surgery. The more I stumbled off, the more my actions started irking me. I got it together and the top looked like my turf to be. They think money rules, I'm rich and I'm done with school. My problems still exist, so don't listen to none of fools. For currency, they running their lives in the paid in full. I took a task and made it cash in my path and became cool. My life came full circle as the park was throwing left hooks. Now I'm in the league with Steph Curry and Russell Westbrook. Took a couple bumps, boy, you never received. My chest shook, my heart came from a lion. This path, only the best took. I wanna check the critics, cause all the things they nitpick, they always seem to skip where he started this ascension, like reciprocity. But that ain't what they give him. I did it from the jump, but you stumble, they pay attention. Aware of my surroundings at all times.
All right, welcome back to Sports Chat with T. Wash. That was my man Damian Lillard, Portland Trailblazer, a point guard, one of the most underrated point guards in the league. I really like that cat. He can flow, and then he has ball skills on the court. But now we're going to get off into this MLB rundown, and let's get into the standings. Teams is hot right now. In the American League, you got in the East, the Red Sox have been on the tear. So I remember there for a while. Maybe about a month and a half ago, Baltimore Orioles was leading the division by 8 games. Red Sox have been on the tear. And right now, they're tied with the Toronto Blue Jays, 77-61. In their last 10, the Red Sox are 6-4, and they're currently on the 1-game win streak. The Blue Jays have the exact same record. So they're tied for first. In their last 10, they're 5-5, but they're on the current 2-game losing streak. Yeah, the Baltimore Orioles, who, like I said, they've kind of taken a fall. They were winning the division by 8 games, maybe like a month and a half ago. So they're in a position to fight for a wild card spot, but they're 76-63, 6-4 in the last 10 games, and they're currently on the 1-game loser streak. Then you have the team that everyone hates, the New York Yankees, in fourth, with a 72-65 record, 6-4 in the last 10. And they're currently on the 3-game win streak. Then you have rounding out the division, the Tampa Bay Rays, who are 59-79, 5-5 in their last 10, and they currently have a 1-game win streak. So that's what's going on with the East Division, AL East. Now we go to the AL Central, where one of the teams I'm rooting for to get to the World Series, they're still holding down first place, even though Detroit has been on the tear lately. The Cleveland Indians, 79-58, 6-4 in their last 10. They're currently 5 games up on the Tigers, so they got to hold on so they can win the division. But they're on a 2-game losing streak. I guess the bright spot of it is that the Tigers, they're second, 75-64 record. And like I said, they're still 5 games back, you know, in back of the Indians. So the Indians got to try to maintain this lead coming down the stretch because the season's about to end here soon and playoff time is going to begin. But the Tigers have a 2-game losing streak also. Last year's World Series champion, small market Kansas City Royals, they're 72-66, 5-5 in the last 10. They're on the current 2-game win streak. And it's crazy because the Cleveland Indians of this year remind me of the Kansas City Royals of last year. You know, the Kansas City Royals, they had a lot of talent, and they just put it together. And we're able to use that talent and get to the World Series and win a championship. And I kind of see the same thing with Cleveland. I see them getting there to the World Series, but I don't see them winning. My favorite American League team, the Chicago White Sox, they're in fourth in the AL Central. And they're 67-72. Currently on a 2-game win streak. And they're 4-6 in their last 10 games. And then rounding out that division are the Minnesota Twins with a 51-88 record. They're 2-8 in their last 10, and they're on the current 3-game losing streak. In the AL West, you got the Texas Rangers leading the way at 83-56. They're 8-10 and 8-2 in their last 10 games, and they're on the current 1-game winning streak. And then in second place, 8.5 games back, the Rangers. Now, I really don't think the Rangers are going to get caught, so I think they're pretty much a lock to win the AL West. But the Houston Astros are 74-64, 7-3 in their last 10 games and have a 3-game win streak. Then you have Seattle Mariners at 70-68. They've been struggling. They have 2 wins in their last 10 games, and they're currently on the 1-game losing streak. You have the Anaheim Angels at 62-76. They're 8-2, in their last 10 games and have a current 1-game losing streak. So they kind of got like a little spurt going there, but it's too late for the Angels, and they have a lot of talent. I don't understand, you know, Albert Pujols and Mike Trout. You would think those guys are the cornerstones, and the Angels have been downhill for the last few years. And then you have rounding out the AL West, the Oakland Athletics, who are 59-79, 4-6 in their last 10, and have a current 1-game win streak. Standings of the American League. Now we'll talk about the National League. National League standings. In the NL East, you have the Washington Nationals at 81-57, 6-4 in the last 10, and have a current 2-game win streak. Then you have the New York Mets, who are 74-66. They're currently 8 games in back of the Nationals, and this is like the Texas Rangers. I don't believe that the Mets are going to be able to catch the Nationals. Nationals are too hot right now. Even though the Mets are 8-2 in their last 10, they have a 5-game win streak. But I don't see the Washington Nationals going on a losing streak that will allow the Mets to narrow the gap. Number 3 team in the division is the Florida Marlins, who are 68-71. They've been struggling. They're 1-9 out of their last 10, and they currently have a 5-game losing streak, so they're struggling. And then you have the Philadelphia Phillies, who are 62-76. 3-7 in the last 10, have a current 2-game win streak. And then my favorite team in the National League, the Atlanta Braves, and my Braves have been in rebuild mode for it seemed like the last 6 years. But they're 54-85, 7-3 in their last 10. That's good. That's a bright spot. And they currently have a 2-game losing streak. Now we get to the NL Central. And this team is leading the way in the division by 15.5 games. So there's no chance that they're going to lose this division. And this is also the team I believe that's going to be representing the National League in the World Series, where hopefully I can get my dream matchup of them taking on the Cleveland Indians. And that's the Chicago Cubs. Hopefully they can finally break the curse. I mean, it's been a long time. I can't remember the year. 1915, I think. Since they won the World Series. So it's time for the Cubs to break through. I mean, they're 89-49. Last 10 games are 7-3. They have a 1-game losing streak. But once again, the next closest competition within the NL Central is the St. Louis Cardinals, their rival. St. Louis is 73-64, and they're currently 15.5 games in back of the Cubs. So unless the Cubs have some kind of colossal collapse, then they're not going to lose this in their Central Division. The Cardinals are 5-5 in their last 10, and they're currently on a 3-game win streak. The Pittsburgh Pirates are third at 67-69, 2-8 in their last game. 2-8 in their last 10 games. They're struggling. And they currently have an 8-game losing streak. Yeah, they're really struggling. What's going on? What's going on with the Pirates? And next you have the Milwaukee Brewers, who are 61-77, 5-5 in their last 10. They have a 1-game win streak. And rounding out the NL Central is the Cincinnati Reds, who are 57-81, 2-8 in their last 10 games, and have a current 4-game losing streak. So the Cubs just been munching on their division foes. I mean, 15.5 games. Like I said, unless something catastrophic happens, I don't see the Cubs losing the NL Central. And, you know, like I said, I believe that they'll be there in the World Series. I'm hoping against the Cleveland Indians. A lot of people are picking the Texas Rangers against the Cubs. I'm hoping for the Cleveland Indians to face the Cubs in the World Series. The NL West, you have the Dodgers at 78-60, currently 4 games up on San Francisco. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games and have a current 4-game win streak. The San Francisco Giants, a team I believe is going to be there in the NL, you know, the National League Championship Series to face the Cubs, still not too late. They're only 4 games back, so they need to get a streak going and hope that the Dodgers, you know, start losing a few games here, because I believe that they have the pitching staff to take on the Cubs. I believe the Cubs will still win, but when you have Johnny Cueto and Madison Baumgartner, you have a chance in the playoff series. But the Giants, like I said, they're 74-64, 4 games back of the Dodgers, 4-6 in their last 10, and have a current 1-game win streak. The Colorado Rockies are 66-72, 6-4 in their last 10, have a current 1-game losing streak. Next team is the Arizona Diamondbacks, who are 58-80, 5-5 in the last 10, have a current 2-game losing streak. The San Diego Padres round out the NL West at 57-81, 4-6 in the last 10, and have a losing streak of 1 game. So I'm gonna pick the Giants to take on the Cubs in the National League Championship Series to go to the World Series, and I believe that the Cubs will win. And like I said, I'm hoping that the Cleveland Indians can come out the American League and I get my dream World Series, the Chicago Cubs versus the Cleveland Indians, with the Cleveland Indians going down to the Cubs in the World Series. I just believe that this will be the year that the Cubs finally break through. I mean, they have the talent in place. Theo Epstein has been a genius when it comes to breaking curses. I mean, he did it for the Red Sox. He already has the talent in place to do it for the Cubs. I mean, the Cubs are strong in the pitching staff. They're strong defensively. They're strong offensively. There's no reason why the Cubs can't win the World Series, at least make it to the World Series. To me, it's going to be a disappointment if they don't make the World Series, you know, let alone win it. They have to at least make it. 1-516-453-9117. If you want to talk about Major League Baseball, you want to talk about tomorrow night's football opener between Denver and Carolina, you want to talk about college football over the weekend, then we could chat about it. Just hit me up at 1-516-453-9117. Some of the scores from last night's baseball games. You had the Atlanta Braves losing to the Washington Nationals 9-7. You had the St. Louis Cardinals beating the Pittsburgh Pirates 9-7. You had the New York Yankees beating Toronto Blue Jays 7-6. You had the New York Mets beating the Cincinnati Reds 5-3. The Houston Astros beating the Cleveland Indians 4-3. Baltimore Orioles demolishing the Tampa Bay Rays 11-2. The Philadelphia Phillies beating the Miami Marlins 4-3. The Kansas City Royals beating up on the Minnesota Twins, 10-3. The Milwaukee Brewers whooped up on the Cubs last night, 12-5. Wow, you see that coming. The Chicago White Sox beat the Detroit Tigers 2-0. The San Francisco Giants beat the Colorado Rockies 3-2. The Oakland A's Athletics beat the Los Angeles Angels 3-2. The Boston Red Sox beat the San Diego Padres 5-1. The Los Angeles Dodgers beat the Arizona Diamondbacks 5-2. And the Texas Rangers beat the Seattle Mariners 10-7. So that's the rundown of the MLB. I gave you the standings, and I gave you last night's scores. I'm going to take a break, and then when I come back, I want to talk about the best center of my generation, in my opinion, when I come back.
About everything.
Welcome back to Sports Chat with T-Wash. Now I want to talk about the best NBA center of my generation, in my opinion. And this guy was a monster. To me, he was better than Shaq. He's better than Ewing. He's better than David Robinson. You know, and those guys are during my generation. You know, I don't want to say Kareem. I mean, I was born in the late 70s, so I can't really qualify Kareem. I mean, I grew up in the 80s, but, you know, I was a youngster, so I can't really say Kareem. You know, he's not my generation. You know, I got to go with Ewing and David Robinson, you know, Olajuwon, Shaq, you know, those centers. Hakeem Olajuwon was the best. Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon. I mean, the guy had 26,946 career points, giving him a career average of 21.8 points per game. 13,747 rebounds, giving him 11.1 rebound per game average. And 3,830 blocks, giving him a 3.1 block per game average for his career. The guy did it all. I mean, he had the dream shake, man. And you don't know what I'm talking about. Go on YouTube and type up Hakeem Olajuwon dream shake on David Robinson. Man, he had David Robinson jumping like a pogo stick. He was faking him out so bad. And the thing that was great about Hakeem Olajuwon, he could block the shot. He could score on you. He could score in the post. He could shoot the mid-range jump shot. He could drive you to the basket like a guard. He can cross you over. Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon was the best center in my generation. And I'm not saying Shaq, because Shaq was one-dimensional. All Shaq did was dunk and maybe throw up a little half-hook shot. He didn't really have no post game or, you know, no mid-range shot. He couldn't make free throws. Hakeem Olajuwon could make free throws. Hey, even occasionally, Hakeem Olajuwon stepped out there and shot threes. So my opinion, Hakeem Olajuwon is the best center. The guy was 7 foot and played like a guard in some occasions. 7 foot, 255 pounds. 1984, number one draft pick, just like Shaq was number one draft pick in 93. Hakeem Olajuwon, number one draft pick, two-time NBA champion. He won two straight, but, you know, if Michael Jordan would have played and wouldn't have retired for those two seasons, the Bulls might have won 8 straight titles. But that would have been a good, hell of a matchup, having Hakeem Olajuwon, Vernon Maxwell, Kenny Smith, Otis Thorpe, Robert Horry as a rookie who was balling, Sam Cassell as a rookie who was balling. Having that team go against the Bulls, B.J. Armstrong, Johnny Pax, Scotty, T.K. I mean, that would have been a hell of a matchup to have that. You know, have a Jordan-led Bulls team during those years go against that Houston Rockets team. But he's a back-to-back NBA champion, two-time Finals MVP, NBA season MVP in 1994, 12-time NBA All-Star, two-time NBA Defensive Player of the Year in 93 and 94. Hakeem Olajuwon was a beast. And I would like anybody to debate me that Shaq was better than him, or David Robinson was better than him, or Patrick Ewing was better than him. And don't get me wrong, I like all those guys. Patrick Ewing was good, too. Patrick Ewing could shoot a jump shot. He could make his free throws. He had a post game. I mean, in all truthfulness, I'll take Ewing over Shaq. If Shaq could shoot a mid-range shot or make his free throws, Shaq would be, I mean, he was the most dominant center, you know, as far as sheer force and size and power. But I consider domination a player that can do everything, play defense, score on the inside, score on the outside, make free throws. You know, Shaq was a liability in most games. I mean, don't get me wrong, Shaq always joke and say he made them when it counted. Sometimes he did make them when they counted. But there wasn't no guarantee he's going to make those free throws. Olajuwon was a high 70s to 80% free throw shooter. So 9 out of 10, he's going to make the shot. He's going to make his free throws when it matters most. He's not a liability to be out there in crucial situations. So I definitely, you know, would take Elijah Ryan over anybody. And like I said, I challenge anybody to debate me that Hakeem Olajuwon, you know, at least in my era, you know, and I'm 39 years old, at least my era, out of those four centers I said, Shaq, Olajuwon, Ewing, and David Robinson. Olajuwon is the best out of all those guys. Can you tell me different? Or if you have a favorite center from your era, you know, maybe it's Wilt Chamberlain. Maybe it's, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Maybe it's Bob Lanier, you know, somebody like that. Maybe it's Wes Unseld. Maybe it's Willis Reed. Maybe it's the Chief or Bill Russell. But who's your favorite center of your generation and why? I gave you the reason why Olajuwon is mine. I broke it down for you. And, you know, like I said, that's the reason why I believe he is, because he can do it all. Olajuwon has every facet of the game you need. He can run the floor for a big man. He plays defense. He blocks shots. He's a known shot blocker. Multiple defensive player of the year. I mean, the guy's a monster. And if I can remember right, I think when Shaq went up against a young Shaq, went up against Olajuwon in the finals in 94-95 season, what happened? Olajuwon destroyed Shaq, hitting him with them dream shakes, shooting jump shots on him, playing in the post with him. All Shaq accounted with is that turnaround dunk. That's really all Shaq accounted with. And I think, yeah, Houston swept him. 4-0. And it was so bad and so embarrassing. If I can remember right, Shaq had challenged Olajuwon to play a 1-on-1 in a pay-per-view. And I think it was supposed to happen. But somehow it didn't. That's how embarrassed Shaq was of how Houston and how Olajuwon destroyed those guys in that finals. 4-0, they humiliated him. I blame some of that on Nick Anderson, too, for missing those doggone free throws. And he's the one player who I just never understood. You a two-guard, and you shoot a higher three-point percentage than you do free throw percentage. When, you know, you shoot a three-pointer, you being contested. Free throw line, you not being contested. It's just you in the rim. But you shoot a higher free throw percentage than you do, I mean, higher three-point percentage than you do free throw percentage. I never understood that about Nick Anderson. So he gets some of the blame for them losing, definitely for them losing that one game in Orlando. All he had to do was make the free throws, and he would have wrapped that game up. And it's like once they lost that game, their confidence was just shook for the rest of the series. And that was a young Orlando Magic team. The veteran presence they had was Horace Grant, you know, who had just won some championships with the Bulls. They had Brian Shaw. They had Dennis Scott, 3D, shooting threes. Nick Anderson, a young, good Penny Hardaway. A young Shaq. They had a good team. Orlando should have won some championships, and it's messed up because if Penny wouldn't have never got hurt, Penny would be a Hall of Famer today. He would be an all-star. We'd be talking about Penny like we're talking about Kobe and those guys, because Penny was on his way to stardom. But his knees just went bad on him. So, I'm about to get ready to wrap up the show here. As I said, you know, it was a great college football weekend, and expecting many more to come, but in all honesty, I probably won't be keeping up with it as much as I should, because I'm more of a NFL fan. You know, with NFL football starting up tomorrow night and continuing on Sunday, I'm going to be immersed in the NFL. Now, I will check out some of the college scores and try to break down some of the games, especially if it's a good game. I definitely watch those and, you know, fill you guys in on my opinions about them, you know, in my next show, Saturday's show. I'll talk about some of the games, you know, that's going on Saturday. And then we get off into some football, NFL. We talk about the Denver-Carolina game. And then I'm going to do my picks for the games on Sundays. And it's going to be all good. As far as Major League Baseball is starting to heat up, the playoff race is starting to come. You know, the season's starting to wind down. Fall's getting here, and that's when baseball is at its best, during the fall series. You know, during the playoffs, the wild cards, the league championships, and the World Series. This is it's starting to be, you know, get close to the time where it's good to watch baseball. And during the regular season, I can't really watch baseball. It's just too boring. Unless I go to the game, I can do it then. But as far as watching on TV, I can't watch a whole game. I can watch snippets of it. And, you know, like I said, my top NBA center is Hakeem Dream Olajuwon. I wish somebody would have called me and debated me and told me that it was Shaq or Ewing or, you know, one of those guys, David Robinson. Because, like I said, head-to-head, the Dream dusted all those guys. And, you know, in my opinion, he's the best center, you know, like I said, of my generation. So I'll end the show with this. I just want to thank everyone who does listen. And I love doing this show. I love talking about sports. And I continue to talk about sports, and I continue to do the show. As long as I get, you know, a few callers that call here and there, it's fine. That gives me a reason to keep doing it. Eventually, I'll break through here and get more callers, and we have a little more fun on this show. I mean, don't get wrong, I'm having fun doing it now. I enjoy doing this. But I'll end it with this, and that sports is basically the fabric of society. Whether it's football, baseball, basketball, soccer, and hockey, we all as humans have a strong passion for the games and what they represent. Now ask yourself, could you imagine life? Once again, thank you for listening. This is Sports Chat with T. Wash, signing out, and I'll be coming to you live again on Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Thank you, guys, and I'll see you then.
Brothers and sisters.